You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
The time is now 13 minutes past four, and it is time for us to hello, Jeff.
Is that kind of introduction? Is that where you're at today?
Life, love, and chicken soup, or whatever it is that you do. What is this thing?
Pink salad.
Pink salad.
I don't know.
Fruit salad.
Fruit salad.
There you go.
We talk about everything.
Life, love, and fruit salad.
And everything we talk about.
Well, today is very, very different. I mean, you come out of, I need to ask this question because normally a lot of what you speak about is stuff that you've had personal experience with. I mean, that's kind of the basis upon which you do this. So really, when we talk about road rage, I just want to know, who did you piss off?
Well, somebody cut me off.
Oh.
So I just thought we all have a little bit of this stuff in us, and so
do we?
Yeah, there was something that
not me,
not at all.
No,
never. Mm-mm. No. You're a biker. You got it built in. I mean, you get given. It comes with the Honda. You know what I mean? They give you. He has a bit of road rage, and of course,
and your license,
and your bike, and your helmet, and you can kick off side mirrors if you want to. You know, that's what you oaks do.
No, we don't.
Well.
Oh, maybe once.
Well, once or twice a week. And, I just thought that I travel here quite often, at least once a week, and travel from Atlantic Seaboard to the Deep South, and I see it quite often. And the other day, somebody cut me off, and I thought, and I'm a chilled guy. I'm not a thing, but I had a bit of rage about it, and the guy threw me a bird, and it happens on the road. And I thought, well, let me have a look at this, because I think it happens to all of us. So it doesn't matter who you are. If you're a driver, it's on the road. And I found some amazing statistics here, and I found some amazing things that we don't really know about road rage. We think it's a little bit of aggressive driving, but it's actually not. So I just wanted to unpack that for 20 minutes or so today.
There you go.
Help people maybe try and curb their road rage. Some of us are worse than others. As you know, people are listening now. You have a bit of road rage, you get upset, but some people get really upset and really cross. And it can be dangerous to other people and themselves, and maybe their kids sit in the car as well, and you're teaching kids how to behave when you drive anyway. So I want to have a look at it. So it started, it was during the early 1980s that the term came out, road rage. And it was in the media quite a lot, I think. And because of its catchy name, it's kind of stuck there. Mm. And people know what road rage is now. And you think, you know, you've got it. But there's a difference between road rage and aggressive driving. There is a link to it, obviously, but there's a difference. So a clear distinction must be made between the road rage and aggressive driving. So I think that's very important. Aggressive driving does not necessarily lead to road rage, but it is often the precursor or the trigger of a road rage incident. So let's define it. It's an incident in which an angry or impatient motorist or passenger intentionally injures or kills another motorist, passenger, or pedestrian, or attempts to threaten or injure or kill another motorist, passenger, or pedestrian. Now, that's quite a definition. Now it starts getting serious, because we're talking about killing people and murdering people. I thought, wow, this is something we need to talk about, because maybe this is something that we don't realize how dangerous it is. And it's the weirdest thing. You'd be the calmest person. But when you get behind the wheel and somebody threatens your life or cuts you off or gives you a fright, you tend to react that you wouldn't normally react like that. Now, why is that? So South Africa, we've got a culture of road aggression. We do have. And it's in this culture, together with the factors such as modern high-pressure living and stress and lack of consideration for other human beings, which not only leads to road rage, but contributes in a no small measure to our high road fatality rate. So we've got a very high death rate on the roads. And it's caused by speeding, Tailgating is a big one. That's quite aggressive driving. Tailgating somebody, you know, going behind them and at a right on their backside. Running a red robot. We know that there are certain buses that mini buses that do that quite a lot. And well, I see that. I don't know about the Deep South, but we see it in Atlantic Seaboard a lot. Changing lanes without indicating, that's interesting because a lot of Cape Townians have an indicator on their car as an optional extra when you buy a car, you know. Harsh weather conditions, we have that as well, and people don't really look. Traffic congestion and all that kind of stuff as well. So this less than friendly behavior is more than just a feeling of frustration or a mean look or the steely blue-eyed sort of like deep look and I'll get you. It, as it's displayed in different forms, it comes across as yelling at the other driver, shouting at him, okay, or making vulgar gestures, you know, throwing the finger and the whole stuff. Physical violence can also be part of it. I've known there was an incident here where a guy took out a baseball bat, I think. And
no, yeah, it was a hockey stick.
Hockey stick.
It was a hockey stick, yeah. The guy beat the man to death with the hockey stick, right? Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. So now you think of that and you think you beat him to death. Wow, okay. Jeez, you actually murdered somebody.
Now, Rory just reminded us of that on the WhatsApp.
Okay, thanks, Rory, yeah. So, but I want to take a look and just remind people how severe this can actually get. So I had a look at the SAPS second quarter crime reports from July 9, 2023 to September. Now that's July, August, September, 3 months, right? Mm-hmm. 3 months. Okay, so it indicates that road rage was responsible for 1,272 attempted murders, 1,053 murders,
wow,
and 20,686 assault with grievous bodily harm. That's just due to road rage.
In 3 months.
Now I looked at the figures from SAPS on the third quarter. Okay? So that was October to December. Mm-hmm. And road rage was responsible for 1,700 attempted murders, 1,116 murders, and 27,900 assaults with grievous bodily harm.
That's quite an increase. Must be to do with the time of the year.
Time of the year, absolutely. But if you look at it over 6 months, that is incredible.
Mm.
It's like 3,000 whatever murders. Mm. I mean attempted murders, 2,000. I was shocked, absolutely stunned, because we think we, you know, just thought, I just got cross with somebody, shouted at him. But you don't. You know, I met a psychiatric sister that came for an interview here in Cape Town at Valkenburg. She came from London for this interview, the top job at Valkenburg. And I was having coffee with her, and she said...
Oh, it wasn't during your stay.
No, that was after my stay, and we sort of got... No. I was having coffee. And she was saying to me, people should not attack other people on the road or even swear at them or do anything with other. You never know, because there's so many crazies out there that you don't know. You said the people that are supposed to be in mental institutions are not there because the institutions are full. So they're on the road here somewhere. You know, somewhere. So I don't know. You never know who you are cutting off or whatever. So how let's look at this in South Africa. So that's South Africa. So you know, in the U.S., 82% of drivers in the U.S. admit to having road rage or driving aggressively at least once in the past year. 59% of drivers reported showing anger by hooting. 45 report changing lanes without signaling. And 42 of drivers claim they've yelled or sworn at somebody outside, you know, from a car to another driver. So I had a look at – that was the U.S. figures, and then I had a look at the AA figures in South Africa. And they looked at some drivers in Johannesburg area, and they concluded that 47.7% of all respondents reported to having children in the car while having a road rage incident. Now, that's scary. Half of the road rage in Joburg on these respondents, I think about 100, said they had kids in the car. It also showed that 47% of all road rage is perpetrated by the drivers between ages of 18 and 25. So the youngsters are getting involved in this nonsense as well. Okay, and 18 and 25, 47% in South Africa, the road rage is perpetrated by those guys. Okay, So what causes this road rage? What is the thing that does it? And how to avoid it is really important as well. Feeling frustrated on the road obviously is quite normal. You know, you're behind traffic, or especially if you be somewhere and you're running a bit late or whatever it is. So here's some steps to avoid the road rage. Firstly, drive safely. Okay, cutting off people and going out in lanes and trying pushing in front and weaving in and out of drive, it's just not going to help you. It's just irresponsible, and it'll trigger somebody behind you being angry, and they're probably in a bucky with a tow with one of those bull bars in the front. You don't want to be around that.
You know, they could just be some mild-mannered, you know, human being who, when presented with a situation like that, becomes like a monster at the flick of a switch. You
correct.
Know? Yeah.
That's what happens, isn't it? Isn't it weird? So don't tailgate somebody, because you're immediately going to upset them. Okay, it leads to 13 to 14% increase in the risk of being in a car crash, by the way, compared to being a safe driver. So keep your distance, I think, is very important there. It makes drivers appear impatient, and it's a common trigger for road rage. Yeah. Avoid speeding. You know, if you come up behind somebody at a very fast rate, or you overtake him on the left-hand side or somewhere, and the guy gets a fright, that can also trigger a rage incident. Plan your trips. So planning your trip can reduce the stress, giving you extra time for potential delays and helping you stay calm, which is the whole point of this whole thing. Staying calm while you drive. And don't engage with angry drivers. You know, don't respond. It's just not going to be good, maybe in the wrong way. If you look at the murder figures from yourself and attempted murder figures, you pretty much just stay away from those kind of people. Don't drink and drive. I think alcohol makes you irritable and short-tempered as well, maybe. And it makes you likely to behave aggressively behind the wheel as well. And be careful of learner drivers. You know, the L, the red L on the back of the car. You know what? Give them their space. You were a learner driver once. Some kid in a car doesn't quite know how to do the clutch yet or whatever. Just stay away. Don't get angry. You know, it's fine. And while these might not completely protect you from road rage, they can significantly lower the chances of it affecting you if you just chill and just take it easy. And I think it's quite good to understand your triggers as well. Okay, so how do you manage your road rage? Okay, so number one, you can breathe. It's very important to breathe, generally, in normal health. But breathing exercises can cleanse the body a little bit and focus on your breathing and make sure that you're just chilled. Listen to music, podcasts, audiobooks, drive in the slow lane, don't drive in the fast lane. Doesn't matter if you say, well, it's 80, I'm only allowed to drive 80. No, get into the slow lane. Some idiot's going to drive 100 or 120. Let him go. It's fine. Let him get the fine. It's okay. It's all good. So you can listen to nice music in the car. If you listen to classical music, it calms you down quite a bit. Or I suggest Zone Radio. If you can listen to it in the car, it can be fantastic. Relax. Practice progressive muscle relaxation and deep muscle relaxation. Don't get relaxed too much that you fall asleep behind the car. That's very important. But when you're frustrated, you will store tension in your body. And these techniques will help you release of that. And especially when you're driving, it's important. This is an interesting one. Play games. So the games you gave you. No, that doesn't mean play chess in the car while you're driving. It doesn't mean that. It just means that there's a cognitive behavioral game or intervention like counting idiots. Okay? If you can count that many. But basically, if you accept that certain amount of people are going to make idiots of themselves on the road, you decide to make a game out of it. And you count them. So if you're driving from Atlantic Seaboard to the Deep South, how many idiots did you come across on your trip? And you can make it a fun thing. And you can do it with the kids. And you can just chill yourself. It's all about chilling yourself. Managing your time wisely. And this is where I get a little bit of frustrated on the road when I'm running late. I hate being late for anything. So when I'm running late, I get frustrated, and frustration, of course, equals anger. And so that's where that comes in for me. That's where I've got to be careful. So I try and leave early and get to a place on time. So manage your time properly. Organize your schedule if you can. because it doesn't matter if you're a little bit late, maybe, or whatever, but just don't get murdered. You know, that's one of the things. We can now just have a general discussion on it.
Yeah, I think it's one of those topics that Judy actually sent a message saying, did we arrange this for her?
Of course, Jude. Of course we did. What I got a fright was from was the statistics on attempted murder and murder over a three-month period. I got a hell of a fright with that.
Yeah, look, it's one of those things that it cuts two ways. Okay, so let's take the scenario. Mild-mannered Michael, he's driving down the road. He's a bit oblivious to, you know, angry Albert behind him, and he changes lanes. Okay, now mild-mannered Michael is not an aggressive person, but angry Albert certainly, you know, he's going to have a go. And that's when it is triggered. And, you know, angry Albert pulls up next to mild-mannered Michael and, you know, there is an exchange. Now, that could be a very simple sort of dirty look, flipping bird, wind down the window and shout, are you a moron? Were you born stupid or do you practice? All that kind of stuff. And, you know, now we're at that point. Yeah. Now we're at that point where mild-mannered Michael could do one of two things. Respond, okay, and escalate it, okay, and become defensive. Or he moves on and says, sorry, and go. Because I've never seen a road rage incident escalate beyond when you're in the wrong and somebody pulls up behind you and gives you the bird and you say, I'm sorry, I didn't see you.
Perfect.
I'm so sorry.
Yep.
It never escalates beyond that.
No.
Nobody actually gets up and says, well, you know, once you've said sorry and genuinely mean that you're sorry, yeah, it de-escalates it. But now mild-mannered Michael, he's not known for saying sorry. And that's where it's not always the aggressor that results in a road rage incident. It can be, but it's not always. The response to the anger of somebody who is offended. That's where the problem is.
Absolutely. A mild-mannered Michael might have shooting experience and carry a weapon on him and feel threatened because he's
a mild-mannered guy and he shoots somebody.
And he shoots somebody.
Yes.
And he shoots you in front of your kids. I mean, this can go, you know, to crazy levels.
There is so are women or men the highest statistic for road rage, etc.? I don't know.
Men.
Is it men?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I've got a woman at home who is probably, yeah, I'm telling you, Judy said, did you organize this for me?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, but the thing about it is that there are two people involved here. One is, you know, if mild-mannered Michael had been cut off by aggressive Albert, there probably would be nothing because mild-mannered Michael is probably going to say, oh, okay, it's fine.
Oh, what a chop.
Yeah, off you go.
Yeah.
It's when the person who is aggrieved is an aggressive person that this thing gets out of hand, but only if the mild-mannered person takes inappropriate action. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, now you've got two aggressive guys.
Now you've
That's where the nonsense can happen as well. Or somebody that's maybe intoxicated a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's carrying.
Yeah.
Okay, and that can happen.
A hockey stick.
And he gets out and he's just one of those people. You don't know who's in the car in front of you, behind you, on the side for you. That's the problem as well.
Or the circumstances under which they find themselves.
Absolutely.
Now, you can find somebody, you know, I've seen this happen too, where a person who generally is not aggressive is kind of a peace-loving kind of human being, but they under tremendous stress for whatever reason.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
At that time, the incident occurs. That person reacts now under pressure already.
Yeah.
And if they weren't under that kind of pressure, they probably handled it differently.
Sure.
So I think that in my experience with road rage incidents, the aggressor is the one who says, hey, you just drove like an idiot, okay? You just cut me off, you know? But it doesn't escalate beyond that unless the person who committed the so-called offense reacts to it. If they genuinely just say, oh, I'm so sorry, I never saw you, you know, I've never seen it go beyond that.
It doesn't go beyond it because you get what you give. Yeah. So if you're aggressive, you might get aggressive back. What I'm saying here is just, guys, be aware of your behavior and be aware that that crazy out there that you don't know who he is, as you said, what he's going through, what stress his family might have just heard, he's got cancer, whatever anything, goes on. Anything could be happening in his life.
Yeah.
Or he might be recovering from something, or he might not be feeling well, or he might be bipolar, or he might be...
anything.
Schizophrenic anyway, or whatever it is. You've seen enough programs on TV to know that there are some very, very strange people with a lot of mental illness out there. You don't know. And if you know, all right, fine, but you don't know. And so this is the reason I brought this to the table today as part of life, living in life and Fruit Salad, because I got so frightened by the statistics and not seeing it every day.
I'll tell you what, that's frightening to me. I mean, I was not aware. I was not aware that the numbers would be that high.
Me neither. I thought it would be a nice thing to talk about because, you know, it's safety and it's the kids and it's, you know, you're on the road all the time. And Cape Town's getting busier and busier and busier.
Anyway.
You notice it's getting busy. Joburg is busy. Everybody, you know, is there. We're all a bit in Joburg. You're a little bit worried about hijacking and all that. It's happening here too. But road rage and the amount of violence and serious crime. I mean, you can get locked up. And when I was speaking to a colleague of mine today who's an attorney, he was a criminal attorney, and he was saying the scariest thing that he is scared of, I mean, this is the scariest thing he said, and this is a criminal attorney, he says he's going to jail. He says, you have no idea what goes on here. Mm. And if you hit somebody, or if you attempted murder with somebody, or you attempt to hurt them or bang their car or whatever it is, you can be prosecuted criminally and go to jail.
Mm.
No problem. And what he was talking to me about today, what goes on in Polsmore and stuff like that, is unbelievable. So, and that's in the show on another thing that'll put you off ever doing anything wrong in your whole life again. But just be careful here because this can also lead to criminal charges and all kinds of weird things. If you're driving behind and you bump into an attorney, he'll know about this. Or somebody that's, you know, connected or is a little bit more intelligent than most will go to his attorney and say, listen, I got the number of this guy. The cops will come to your house. Mm. I had a friend of mine in Joburg who threatened somebody from one car to the other with a weapon.
Mm.
He just showed him the weapon.
Mm.
And that was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was about 6 o'clock in the morning. He was going to work. That night, he got a knock on the door, and two cops were there and said, we want to come to take a statement. You've been flagged as somebody who threatened somebody with your gun. And this is normal. You can be in jail in a second. So really, guys, all I'm saying, be careful out there. Just be aware of your own reaction. It might be normal for you to be angry and whatever, and it might fine, and it's never caused any hassle in your life. It, you know, goes away after 3 minutes. You're fine. You're driving, and you're getting to your destination, going shopping, whatever. You forget about it. But it can, as you so rightly said, it can escalate into something serious and can change your life forever. And that's why I brought this to the table today.
I think it's a very, very important thing to consider. It really is. It's not one that is often discussed.
No.
It's one that's often joked about, but not one that's often discussed.
Serious.
Chance is not worth engaging with an aggressive driver. Rather get unsafe and than get injured and killed. Yeah,
exactly.
Or killed. Yeah, exactly. I agree with that. But also on the other hand. Okay.
Darren.
On the other hand, when somebody is driving badly that threatened or put your life at risk.
Mm.
Okay. So, you know, for argument's sake, you're going over a cop's weg and somebody decides that they're impatient and they are going to overtake on the barrier line.
Yeah.
Okay. A head-on collision at that point puts you at risk.
Absolutely.
I think there is every case to let that person know, listen, what you're doing is unacceptable.
Mm.
You're not an aggressor. You're just basically saying, hey, behave yourself. That also ends up in road rage accident, incident.
No, absolutely. What do you? How do you do that? You flash the guy?
Yeah.
Do you pull him over? Do you go and have a cup of coffee with him and say, listen, you know, you nearly killed all three of us.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. It happens where the bird starts going, the shouting and the screaming, the tailgating coming up, getting to the robot on the other side of Okopseweg, shouting through the window. As you said, it escalates. You know, let the chop go because he's going to kill himself on the next corner anyway.
But my concern is he could have killed me.
He could have killed all the kids and you in the back.
Yeah, and that too, I think, again, aggressive driving possibly leads to this kind of thing. But again, it's a question of what who's right and who's wrong here.
It's wrong if you die. I'm in Seapoint every day, and I drive up and down, you know, Regent Road and Main Road Seapoint. And there are a bunch of businessmen who drive the vehicles for transportation that do not listen to any kind of traffic ordinance, or they just park, drive, overtake, solid lines everywhere. And people get angry, and I used to get really angry with these guys, you know, in these mini taxis. And some of them are really nice, and some of them are really a bunch of idiots. I just chill now. I've got a short drive from my office to home. I just get in my car, and I just chill. I'm not going to get excited about it because it just leads to stuff. So I've had an incident the other day where a guy said to me, he pulled over a taxi or something, or his wife did. Judy, his wife did. Pulled over a taxi and got out, and then the guy just pulled a gun out and said, listen, you want to play with me? I've got a gun. And that guy quickly, she quickly got back in her car and left. But this stuff triggers us. You know, you're a normal, normal person, normal girl, woman, whatever, mom. And it triggers you in the car all of a sudden. And there's a psychology behind this stuff. But all I'm saying is, final word, just be careful.
The question that I ask is this. Okay, so you're standing in the queue at the supermarket and somebody cuts in front of you.
Mm.
Okay? You don't generally threaten them with a knife or a gun or, you know, want to beat them up. I've seldom seen that lead to violence. Yeah. How come when you is it because you feel you're protected in your own car, that there's a barrier around you that nobody can get to you, or you feel sort of invincible?
Correct. That's exactly what it is. I'm sure it is because you're behind the wheel. You've got this car. Some of us got bigger cars than us than others, and you feel a little bit protected. But it, for some reason, the stuff triggers, and it makes you immediately angry. Just be aware that just calm and chill and let that person go on with his life and you go on with life. And if you are thinking of getting angry with somebody or getting upset with somebody, just think of the statistics that Richard and I spoke about today. They're very high, very, very high. Yeah.
Higher than I had anticipated, and certainly shocking to me as well. I never realized that they increased.
Yeah,
increased one quarter
at the end
of
the year. By the end of the year,
But that includes December time as well.
Correct.
So and a lot of holiday travel and things like that. So I can understand all of that. Yeah. Well, that was a bit of an eye opener. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and be careful if you're a cyclist as well. I've seen cyclists get really angry. If I leave the studio and we drive back to Seapoint over Chapman's Peak, I've seen some aggressive cars pushing cyclists who are struggling up the hill. And I've seen cyclists riding abreast that get seriously angry with motorists because they sort of go to the side of them and they come down on them and they start shouting and screaming at them. You know, the road rage is for cyclists as well, and you're a bit more vulnerable than generally.
Funny, I'm going to say this now, not only because I'm a biker, but you very, very seldom do see bikers get road rage. Very seldom.
Oh, okay.
Very, very seldom. I've been biking for a long time and ridden with big groups and done many, many rallies. Mm. And seldom do bikers actually feel the need to become aggressive. Very seldom. It does happen, but very seldom. And the main reason for that is because we know that we're on our way. You can't hold me up. I can get past you if I need to. and you can't catch me. So.
All the more reason to kick a wind, the side window or the side mirror.
That doesn't happen often. That doesn't. It happens a lot by accident when they're going through traffic, but it doesn't happen often. Funny enough, bikers are quite chilled on the road. Mm. They're very, very chilled. And generally motorists, you can drive in your car behind somebody and be going marginally faster than them. They will see you coming up and they will not move.
Oh.
Okay. They will not move. Mm. On your bike, if you're a biker, just look on the roads next time. Every time a bike comes up behind a car, 90% of the time the car moves over.
I definitely move over.
And lets the bike go.
Yeah, because you know how vulnerable that guy is on the bike.
Yes. But the thing about that is that it's... He's not too concerned whether he move over or not because he knows he can get past you and he needs, you know, 18 inches to do that. Mm. But when you move over, it's why can't we be like that with everybody?
I don't know.
Is it, you know, I don't know why it is that we pull over for bikes.
I think you guys have learned to drive defensively. So you're watching for idiots all the time. Well, I think that's what you're doing. So I think we in car don't. I mean, you're playing on the radio, you're on the cell phone, somebody cuts you off, all of a sudden you get upset. I think you guys drive, or bikers, drive very defensively, and you are being trained to look for idiot moves of cars, and that's what it is.
But bikers are generally not as aggressive as people would like to label them as. And as road users, they're generally far more considerate. But they're very seldom in the way.
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem. They're not in the way.
Correct.
That bike's not going to hold you up, unless, of course, it's a Harley. But
oh, here we go. Now we're going down another path, people. Now we're pressing buttons.
but generally, bikers all round are not going to hold anybody up. Yeah. And I find it an interesting dynamic. Anyway, Jeff, amazing topic. Thank you very much. For coming in this afternoon, and for our sins, we'll have to listen to you again on Monday.
Sorry about that.
But you can go home now.
Okay, bye.
Drive carefully in this weather.
Thank you.
And stay out of trouble.
I will try. I will try. Everybody, stay out of trouble. Stay safe, and see you next week.
Don't upset anybody on the way home.
No, try not to. Thanks. Bye.